We've been preaching about Jesus. Who he is? Who is this Jesus? We've seen him in a lot of different aspects of his life. The anointing. He was anointed. Said, I'm anointed of the Holy Spirit. He knew he was anointed. And he went through a lot of different things. The rejection, the love of the down and outers and what have you, and all of that. And finally beginning to the mountain where he is now sitting and teaching his disciples. Taught them the Beatitudes, or the showing them pictures of what a disciple of Christ is to be like. You got into that salt and light thing. You remember we tasted Sister Norma, since she was salty. And then the light shining, we had that big spotlight in here. And after Jesus taught them about the salt and the light, guess what his next subject was? Anger. Murder. This is what he said right after being salt and light. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Hareka, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother or sister. Amen. And then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly. Agree with the road rage quickly. Agree with the neighbor who doesn't like you quickly. Hello? You are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Surely, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last. Holy Spirit, this is the Word of God. Not my Word. The Holy Spirit is your Word. You are God. We need you to touch our hearts. We've heard these grand things about who we're to be, and humble and hungry, and the Beatitudes that Jesus gave us. We've heard about being salt and being light. And now he's talking to us about our anger. Certainly, Lord, you must know our hearts better than we know our hearts. The Holy Spirit, come. Breathe upon us. Speak to us. Anoint your word, open our ears, open our hearts that we might receive your word. Amen.
Amen.
This is the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. I want you to notice that Jesus said here, the Jewish teachers have taught you that nothing except actual murder was forbidden by that sixth commandment. Thus they explained away its spiritual meaning. God had something deeper. And the Jewish teachers explained it away. Christ showed the full meaning of this command, according to which we must be judged, and all of us will be judged hereafter. Therefore, we ought to be ruled by the feelings of Christ and the teaching of Christ now. Ask your question. How angry have you ever become? I remember years ago I was called to a home. And the deputy sheriff was called. When I got there, the deputy was standing in the doorway. I looked in the doorway and there was this family that I knew, and the man was angry. He was cussing and ranting and raging, and he was breaking up everything in the house. Tables, chairs, I mean, he was smashing everything. He was angry. I said to the deputy, I said, can't you stop him? The deputy said, not as long as he don't touch her. That's his stuff. He can do what he pleases with his stuff. But if he touches her, he's mine. And of course, the man knew it. He was so angry, he could break everything up in the house. But he wasn't angry. He was still smart enough not to touch her. How angry have you ever been? Don't, please don't ever call me, you're breaking my own stuff. I was called one night about 2 o'clock in the morning to a trailer outside of Denton, Maryland. I got there and I got out of the car. I could hear them clear outside. I mean, they were going at it. I walked in and opened the door of the trailer and walked in and sat down. They were at each other. Words and hatefulness and bitterness. He got so angry, he jumped up, he ran over to her and grabbed her by the throat. Pushed her down in the couch. I said, oh my Lord, they didn't tell me what to do in the She was turning blue. I said, I gotta do something. I grabbed him. Pulled him off. Went over and started standing there kicking the wall. He kicked a hole through the wall. Finally, they were at it again. I couldn't get a word. Did you believe it? I couldn't get a word in it. Finally, I said, Holy Ghost, what do I do? He said, tell them to shut up. My daddy said, you don't ever tell anybody to shut up. It's not nice. I said, all right, Holy Ghost, I guess you're better than my dad. All right, here we go. And after a while, you know me, no microphone. Shut up! Joking them so bad they both shut up. Then I could start to talk to them. And get them calmed down and get an answer to their problem. How angry have you ever been? Angry enough to hurt somebody? Angry enough to shoot somebody? Oh no. Anybody here ever murdered someone? I know some have been in You've been in war. That's justifiable. The enemy. But to have so much hatred and bitterness in your heart. Well, Jesus is expanding on that. And what he is saying here is that what God was really talking about was rash anger is the same as heart murder. You don't have to actually take their life. If you have it in your heart, it is Jesus saying, heart murder. Christ says that anger without cause is the same as murder and shall receive the same judgment of God. We can go off and say, well, I've got mad, but I've never killed anybody. Jesus is saying, if you had it in your heart, you're just as guilty and will receive the same kind of judgment from God as the person who did so. See, by our brother here, we are to understand any person, though ever so much below us, we might think, well, you know, they're this, they're that, they're the other. They're not even worthy of life, what have you. Anybody, Jesus saying, any person, we are all made of one blood, whether you like it or not. We hear a lot of talk about Mexicans, but every time I see one, I'm coming in and out of the store, I hold the door for them. And I speak a word. What is this? Smile. They have the same blood in them that I've got in me. I went to China. I was never too fond of, I'll say it, Chinese. But as I was walking down the streets of China looking at these old Chinese men, I would say, Ni hao. And they would say, I thought I was doing something. I told them it's the only word I knew in Chinese. And they answered me in English. What a blessing! I remember going to Mexico City many years ago, sitting in a stadium full of Mexican Christians, people who love Jesus, and I just stopped praising the Lord and listened to the voices around me saying, Gloria! Hallelujah! Jesus! Realize that the same blood flows through all of us. Christ only made two people, didn't he? For God. Adam and Eve. Guess who every living being on the face of the earth came from? Adam and Eve. I don't care whether their eyes are swearing, I don't care whether they're dark skinned like Brother Wheaton here, Brother Sherman, he and our brothers, aren't we? Amen. All right. Well, we carry on in that stuff too, they got perfect. Amen. We're brothers. We have the same blood. You cut us open, it's red. Same thing. And so Jesus is saying, hey, look. This is about all of those around you. Christ is saying that every human being is a brother under God's creation. Therefore, His words apply universally to every human being. Amen. Murder is deeper than just an outward act. It is an inward act. Anger. Bitterness, enmity. Murder is born from within, from an uncontrolled spirit, from an unregulated earth. from an inner anger. Anger itself is the real sin, the sin that breaks the law of God. Here's what anger is. Anger is bitterness and enmity, indignation and wrath, striking out against a person, a hatred of oneself, slandering and destroying a person's image who is created in the image of God. You talk about somebody else, you make fun of someone else, you're making fun of God's image. Rage and fury, an uncontrolled spirit, desiring a person's hurt, envying and killing a person's happiness. Striking out at a person is clearly forbidden here. But so are the bad feelings against the person. Anger, any bad feelings whatsoever against a person is sin. Serious sin. Now there is such a thing as anger with a cause. Justified anger. Justified anger is always discipline and control. It is always limited to those who do wrong, either against God or against others. The distinguishing mark between justified and unjustified anger is that a justified anger is never selfish. It's never about me. It is never shown because of what has happened to me. It is an anger that is purposeful. The believer knows that he is angry for a legitimate reason, and he seeks to correct the situation in the most peaceful way possible. You know what Paul said to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 4:26? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get it set. Whatever there is that needs to be dealt with, deal with it. Find peace in it. Listen to Paul to the Romans saying, it is, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Every now and then, I'm telling you what, Liz just gets under my skin. I don't believe that you were kidding. Now, you've ever had somebody just get under your skin? Huh? How did you react? Huh? Well, Jesus said, we haven't got to it yet. That's a few sermons down the road here. Love your enemies. Not just your neighbor. But love your enemies. Guess what? I can love all of you guys. You're so sweet and kind. I used to have a man in my church on the shore that every time I went to church, he had something that was wrong in the church. You know, I prayed all week. I was ready to preach. And I stand at the door and greet people as they come in. And without fail, he had something negative to say every time he came in. I was building the church. I mean, literally putting the boards together. And he would come in and tell me what I did wrong. He never showed up one time, not one time, to help. telling you I got to the place where I could have tore him apart. The only reason I didn't is because he was 6'4". Bigger than me. God dealt with me while I was driving nails. I put his name on a many a nail. I didn't see it until years later. But God reminded me, I sent him your way. To teach you grace. He's the same one that I put in the ministry. And after I put him in the ministry, he called me up one day and said, I threatened to come to my door, bust my door down, and bust my teeth out of my door. The same guy. He was a preacher now, filled with the Holy Ghost nonetheless. How you explain that? I don't know how to explain it. The next time I saw him, he had his back turned to me. He had food in his hands that came to me. I said, there's my tapped him on the shoulder. And when he turned around, I said, you better lay something down because I'm going to bust your neck. There is a justifying, but somebody's doing wrong. Listen to the next scripture, John. It's talking about Jesus. And the Jews, Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the table. Jesus. Was he angry? You better believe he was angry. They were dishonoring God's house. There was thievery going on in the house of God. And he came to clean out. I don't know that he made a lot of friends that day. But he taught a lesson, didn't he? A justifiable lesson. God's house needed to be honored. They needed to know you can't do this to God's house and there not be some kind of consequence. If somebody does you wrong, it's justifiable. You need to be able to teach them a lesson, but you need to be in control. Jesus was, I wouldn't say here, he hid anybody. There wasn't anybody left dead when he left. He didn't even kill any of the calves or the doves or anything like that. He didn't. He just threw over the tables and the money all over the place. I'm teaching you guys a lesson. Don't be doing this in God's house. It was justifiable. And we've got to be careful that we know when to be angry and have a justifiable reason and then deal with it, not as somebody who's going hog wild, but as somebody in control. I had a couple come to my study years ago, and boy, they fought at home. He was bringing her up the road one time from Frederick. They were having an argument. He pulled over the side of the road and made her get out of the car. He went on. He had to walk home from Frederick. They came to my study. They were sitting there, and I said to her, "Tell me everything you don't like about him." I get ready to take a fight. Haven't seen one in a while. So she sat down and she told me everything she didn't like about me. Well, I could see inside. But he never said a word. He didn't move. And home he would have hit her. Then I said to him, I said, she just told me everything she doesn't like about you, and you sat there. You didn't say a word. You didn't move. Why? He said, you're here. Oh, that makes a difference. If you can control it here, while I'm here, you can control it at home. When I'm not here, we're not there. So we have the ability within ourselves, through the grace of God, when there is justifiable reason, like in the time of Jesus, we can do it with righteousness and purity of heart. There are words of anger that Jesus spoke about here. Reka. It's a scornful word. Comes from pride. It's an Aramaic word meaning worthless. Calling someone worthless. Using some other terms that people use today. You're not worth whatever. Jesus said, that's the same as rash partner. Then he says, thou fool. That's a spiteful word. And it comes from hatred. The word moderos or fool, as used in our text, is a spiteful word pronouncing hatred and dishonor. This reveals a haunting, taunting of a brother, maliciously censoring him as abandoned of God. This word fool pronounces a man to be without grace. It touches his spiritual condition. Jesus said, whoever shall say to a brother, moros, or thou fool, which means dull or stupid or heedless or blockhead, absurd, fool, or you're a child of hell, and he said you're in danger of hellfire. So you see, Jesus is expanding on this thing, thou shalt not kill. Long way. Malicious slander and censure are poison that kills secretly and slowly. You hear what I heard about it? Oh, here's the thing with my mouth. Well, hello, Sister So-and-so. You were a hire somebody in the church. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that in you. Hello? You're on this thing talking about other people and the way they are and things about them. You're not lifting them up. You're tearing them down. If you're not praying for them together with other people over this, you're poisoning. I read a paper this morning. Always like to read that advice column and see how wrong the advice is. This morning there was a lady, she wrote in, her and her boyfriend, they're in love. They were going to have a wedding, and so she invited her girlfriend to come in, and well, guess what? He invited his boyfriend, or friend, who was a male. And they fell in love. Now they're all happily together. boyfriend. And she go tell her girlfriend what's going on between her and her boyfriend. And the girlfriend would tell his boyfriend, which is now her friend. And then the boyfriend would come back and tell this girl's boyfriend what his wife said about him. I said, you dummy, you keep your mouth shut. Solves everything. Do you see how it is? And she said when it got back to her boyfriend, it wasn't anything like she said first. It was added to it. It was blown up. He didn't like my cooking last night. But if he got the message got back to him, your girlfriend said that I said your food tasted like slop. You get on this thing, and you start talking to this one and that one and the other one, and they get on and they talk to somebody else and somebody else. They get on, and finally somebody calls a preacher. Pastor Lane, guess what I heard about so-and-so? Here we go. Jesus said, cut it out. Jesus said, you're hateful, you're mad. Jesus said, you're going to bring hellfire on yourself if you don't stop it. That's the same heart murder. Hello? Yes. Nobody shout this morning.
Amen.
Christ told them that however or life soever they made these sins appear, they certainly don't receive judgment because of it. We ought carefully to preserve Christian love and peace with all of our brethren. And if at any time, Jesus says here, any time there is a quarrel, we should confess our fault. Leave your gift at the altar. Don't you dare come to God's altar when you've got a fuss with somebody. You leave your gift at the altar, you go and you humble yourself to your brother, your sister, making an offering satisfaction for wrong done and words or deeds that are done. And he says, do it quickly, because till this is done, we are unfit for communion with God in the holy ordinances. You're fussing and feuding with your neighbor, don't you come up here and take communion. You get it set. Get it right. I know there are people that won't forgive you. I've had my share. I've had some that have never even asked forgiveness. I forgave them, even though they didn't ask for it. Now, I don't go patty-wagging around with them anymore. I don't trust them. What they did, and especially if they're not willing to ask forgiveness and humble themselves. But now, did those who crucified Jesus come up to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, forgive us? No. Did he forgive them? Yes. He forgave them. Father, forgive them. In other words, don't lay it to their charge. And if somebody does you wrong, you have the right to forgive them, whether they ask for it or not. You need to take care of that business. And he said, quickly. Don't be coming to the altar of God with bitterness and anger and strife in your heart with a quarrel with somebody. Get it straightened out. Has there ever been a time when I've gone to somebody that did me wrong? And I said to them, I'm sorry, David. I told you these things about you. There have been plenty of times when somebody found out somebody had something against me, I couldn't say, I'm sorry. I didn't feel I was guilty of anything. I didn't know anything that I did wrong. But I still went and said, I'm sorry. Humble. That's easier than cussing. Let me tell you. Amen. It's a whole lot easier than keeping a quarrel going. Jesus is saying, be crushed. Go take care of business and then come back to the altar of God. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you want to hear the words from Jesus, well done? How good and faithful. How many of you want to walk into heaven or walk before the judgment seat someday? And the Lord says, well, here on such and such a day, you and so-so had a fuss. And neither one of you straightened it out. Sorry. Lord, you know our hearts better than anybody else. If you were concerned about the church, you weren't preaching to sinners of the world. You were telling your disciples this. You weren't expecting the world to respond to this. This is about people who are trying to follow you. This is about believers, Lord. You gave this teaching so that the church could love each other. We may not always agree together, Lord. We're not going to agree on everything. But we will be brothers and sisters in Christ. And you said this is how the world knows that we are believers in Christ, if you have love one for another. Lord, walk through this congregation. Holy Spirit, this is your day. We recognize Pentecost Sunday. Holy Spirit, here's the work that I want you to do in our hearts. If any of us in here have any thought whatsoever against our brother, our sister, our neighbor, somebody we work with, doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter who was right and who was wrong, that has no bearing. If any of us have anything in our hearts, Lord, we need to confess it to you right now. Jesus, forgive them. And then we need to go to that person with whom we have quarreled. Quickly. We need to get it straight. Lord, I know when I come to stand before you, I don't want anything to stand in my way of entering into your kingdom. You made it very clear, dear Jesus, what you were teaching in this subject. We are your church, and we want to be your people who are washed in your blood. I'm ready to see you, Jesus, on the great day of judgment. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us grace to forgive those who have fought against us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll say it. Amen.